price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a future fade.
Jeff Plum. Welcome to Plum the Food Live. I sit here and test some audio stuff right now. Hope you're doing well. Hope this Monday finds you in a good place. Look for the nice, hopefully warm. Not that I'm going to waste your time talking about the weather here in the Northeast, but it's fucking cold. If you didn't know that. You know, you would think that with my unadulterated, amazing meteorologist skills, I would have been a weather man, but I'm not. But just in case, I'll give you the weather report. It's fucking cold. How about that? I walked outside. And you gotta understand, I wear shorts everywhere. Everywhere I go, I wear shorts. But I don't know, I always have, whatever, that's what I do. I've actually been scrounging through my closet trying to find pants. And I have some chef pants. You know, black ones, striped ones, or whatever. And I've been wearing them just because I have no other pants to wear. That's what I wear. And I look ridiculous. It's fine. It was a great question. Why do we dress up like clowns? Does anybody know? Why do we dress up like clowns? Like we have weird, colorful pants, odd colored jacket. Good lord. I don't know. It's pretty funny. Look at yourself in the mirror if you get dressed for work. You'll see. Unless you're wearing a standard white jacket, check pants sort of thing, which obviously is fine. That's standard, you know, costume for the course, I guess, but it's out of control sometimes, man. I don't know. I generally wear a black jacket, you know, that sort of thing. Black jacket, black shirt from our good friends over at Lost Car. I like the Grunge, one of my favorite shirts to wear. It's comfortable, lightweight, breathable. But I do. I have some striped pants that when I wear them, I just don't understand why. It's so comfortable. Like, I can't help myself. Like, I keep wearing it because they're comfortable. Anyway, enough of that. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, guys. We've got a great show tonight. We got Chef Tony Reed from Spiceology coming on tonight. It's great. Spiceology is an amazing spice company, man. I've been tasting some of the stuff and playing with it, see what I can come up with. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell Tony, we used one of the spices in 86, the 86 finals. I got to bring one of my own ingredients, and my choice of ingredient was the black and blue spice from Spiceology. Called cross-branding. That's what we're doing there. It was great to watch the guys and how they work with it and what they did. It was pretty cool. So I'll tell them about that and talk about how you go from being a chef to being a spice savage. I like to be a spice savage. That's what happens. If you want to be savage anything, I don't know. Well, make sure you follow Chef Tony. That's at Chef_Tony_Reed on Instagram. And of course, you can check out at Spiceology and 3w.spiceology.co to place an order and find out how to set up an account for yourself. We'll get into all that in a minute, too. I want to make you guys know we got some fun stuff going on. I tripped on shooting an episode of Restaurant Road Trip. We were out at Mohegan Sun Casino. Great time. Todd English's Tuscany restaurant, which I wasn't sure how it was going to be. You know, you just never know with this kind of places. And it was phenomenal. Big shout out to my good buddy there, Chef Sean. He's killing it. Did a great job. Food was fantastic. It's great to see that, man. It really is. I don't know how else to say it. Like, I just was really happy. I wasn't sure what to expect when we got there. And, you know, you find these celebrity chef restaurants, and you don't know how much leeway they're giving the chef there. You know, they're just, here's my menu. Got to cook like this. Do it this way. Make sure when you season your rack of lamb, you use your ring finger and thumb when you pinch the salt or weird techniques. But, no, man, they give him tons and tons of a room to make his own menu items, do his own thing, and kind of put his own twist on it, which is great, man. I always love seeing that. He's a great top chef, and he's been around the block, and so having that opportunity, it's great for him. So happy for him. You gotta check that place out. The episode's in the air. I think the season just came out today, but you gotta check it out. The ending, oh my god, it's just the greatest thing ever. I'm so happy. We always try to do funny endings on these shows, and you know, this one is clearly no different, trust me. it's fun. But with our budding relationship with the Mohegan Sun, one of the fun things that happened was I was asked to participate in the Sun Wine and Food Festival, which is happening January 26th, 27th, and 28th. At Uncasville, Connecticut, at the Mohegan Sun. Mohegan Sun is one of the largest casinos in the world. It's going to be a lot of fun. Big shout out to my man Dave coming out to help me. I hope you're doing well, brother. We're going to have a great time there, but we're doing a dish, kind of a dine around with some popular chefs and VIP the whole weekend. And oh, yes, I mentioned Snoop's going to be there. That's Snoop, like the Chisel Snoop. And there's an after party that's going to take place, and we're invited to it. Snoop's going to be a part of it. And anyway, long story short, Snoop gets there on Saturday night, which is a bit of a problem because we're going to be doing this very program live from the event Friday night. It's going to be a special Friday night edition of Fun Love Foods Live, happening from Mohegan Sun live, chef guest galore. I'm hoping to have the one only Todd English and several others. Michelle Ragusas will be on here, I'm sure, just whoever we can find. So there's a ton of chefs there. So we will have, I'm sure, a bunch of guests stopping by and hanging out. And Dave's going to co-host with me a little bit, which should be a lot of fun, because Dave says all of four words. His favorite phrase, of course, is, oh, yeah, that's the Dave phrase. So it's going to be fun having him. Dave Borden will be there with us to make sure you check that out. And it's always those shows are fun. It's going to be a two-hour chef-tacular. Ew, did I just say that? I kind of like it and kind of hate it at the same time. A two-hour chef-tacular special. No? I don't know. Let me know what you think. Send me a message on Instagram if you hate it. At chef underscore plum on Instagram. Chef-tacular! Yeah, it's going to be fun, though. So, looking forward to that. Lots of guests, lots of people stopping by. We'll be drinking, reviewing some beers and stuff, I'm sure, talking food. A lot of great chefs. Brian Duffy's going to be there. It's just an awesome event. I can't wait to be a part of it. I'm so excited they asked me to be there. So, great news on that. And, of course, next week we're going to have... our guest is going to be Jamie Sire from the new Iron Chef series on Food Network. She's awesome. So have her on, talk food, talk about how she goes from ESPN into that. But more importantly, tonight, all about the spice, trying to get your spice right tonight. That's the plan. But before we get Chef Tony on, it's always fun this time of year to check out these things that pop up. And Pop Sugar has posted the 10 food trends that will be big in 2018. According to Pinterest. Not anybody does anything with food, but according to Pinterest. So I thought it might be fun to look at that. Not a food person, not a chef. Pinterest, which, I mean, for me, whenever I go to look about, to learn things about food, the first place I go is Pinterest to learn about culinary techniques, especially. Not Escoffier, not the Food Lovers Compendium, none of that stuff. I don't look at any of the old textbooks from the CIA. Nope. Pinterest. That's where I go to learn all my stuff. Pinterest. I hate that word, too. So stupid. Yeah, so here's what they say. I thought you guys might get a kick out of this. I'm going to do five of them here, then we'll do five with Chef Tony when he comes on, too. Number one, it's not in any particular order, I don't think, but number one here, it says air-fried everything. Cooking everything in an air fryer will become a more popular trend in 2018. And it says air fryers use hot air instead of oil to quote, quote, fry what's inside of it. A much healthier way, even French fries. I've never tried an air fryer. You guys, because I've seen them. Like, I'll go to Target with the fam or something, and I see those things, the air fryer sitting there, and I'm like, what the hell is an air fryer? And part of me kind of wants to try it. Another part of me wants to throw it in the garbage, because, I mean, deep frying is delicious, right? I think it's delicious, don't you? Jesus. But apparently it's going to be a brand new trend. We're going to air fry everything moving forward in 2018. So one of the other things on here just cracked me up as a chef, and we may not even get any more of these until Chef Tony gets on here, because, man, I'll tell you what, this is going to get me going for a little bit here. They're talking about the picture of broth, and first of all, the word gut is the most unflavorful, unappealing word you could say to me, but gut-healing vegetable broth, and why it's better than bone broth. You guys, I just have the biggest problem with this. I'm going to tell you why. Because they call it broth and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we've been making this forever in kitchens, right? We never thought of it as a healing nectar or a healing elixir for you people. This is what Brooklyn does to people, I think. This is all Brooklyn's fault. Brooklyn and L.A., that's my guess. It says vegetable broth, bone broth, and pureed veggie-packed soups are the new juices. Sipping these savory, nutrient-rich soups is a great way to detox. Even if you're not a fan of sweeter juices, soup cleanses are on the rise. Even food stars like Aisha Curry are souping. That just sounds so gross. As a form of healthy eating and lunches on the go. So are you telling me now that food trends are saying that, one, chicken stock is good, veggie stock is good? Because guess what we know. And I don't think you'll ever find a chef who will just use the word gut in their descriptive terms on how this is done. This is just so annoying. It sounds gross when you use the word gut. I want nothing to fucking do with your dish when you use the fucking word gut. It's gross. Stop using that descriptive word. It's terrible. But Pinterest says it's right, so we're going to go with that. Pinterest says it's right, so we'll just stick with that and go with Pinterest. But veggie broth, bone broth, I mean, we all know this stuff, man. Why is this now becoming a thing? You know, again, I blame L.A., I blame Brooklyn, and I don't think I blame anybody else for this yet. But it's really, you know what else I blame? I blame super, super young people. That's what I blame. And, you know who you are. I don't have to get into it. But honestly, like, we're going to walk around eating soup, but if it's a brand new thing, like we've now all never had soup before, get the fuck out of here. We've all been doing that shit. That's what it is, dude. Anyway, so souping over juicing is going to be on the rise in 2018. I told you I wouldn't get much further than that because this shit just blew me up when I read it. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, dude. We all know soup is good for you. Broth is good for you. Stock is good for you. As a matter of fact, when I was younger, we'd make fun of our friends. We'd say when they weren't feeling good or they would miss school or something, we would always say, do you need a robe and a cup of warm broth for yourself? Now it's a hipster thing to do, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, check it out. Make sure you check it out. And not next week, but the following week, we're going to be live in Mohegan Sun. Tons of guests, Todd English, Michelle Ragusas, Brian Duffy. All these people are all going to be there. We're going to get them all stopped by the show. The two-hour Chef-tacular happening on a Friday night. And don't worry, I know it's going to be hard for people to listen live to that show on a Friday night. But the good news is it all goes to iTunes, and it's there forever and always. So you can always check it out there. Anyway, in the meantime, we had a great guest on tonight. Looking forward to spending some time and talking to our man Tony from Spiceology. Chef's been around the block. I can't wait to hear his story. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to go over some of these Pinterest 2018 food, what the fuck are they calling them? Food trends, because chicken stock is now a trend. Get the fuck out of here. I'm getting so angry at reading that. It just makes me nuts. Anyway, I'm going to play a quick tune from our good friends. You know who I'm going to play? Show veteran, our friend Ryan Starr just had his 40th birthday. So I'm going to play a Ryan Starr song for me and for him because I like him. Ryan, happy birthday. Happy birthday. How about I drink a fucking cup of English because I can't speak it. Let's try again. Happy birthday to you, brother. Hope to see you very, very soon. And we'll be right back right here with Chef Tony from Spiceology on Plum Love Foods Live. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
That's the wrong song. We got in trouble for that. Here we go. Be right back, guys.
I keep a photograph of you upon my wall. The beach in winter on the island says it all. Oh, 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 those days were gold. Oh, 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 we didn't know. We stole your father's car, you didn't know how to drive. Touched down on the edge of town, we made it out alive. Setting sun. Oh, 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 I knew you were the one for me. And we said, staring at the stars, the only lights connecting me to where you are. Oh, 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 where have you gone? Oh, oh, oh.
since you walked away, why'd you walk away?
Happy birthday to my man Ryan Starr, man. That's a song right there. We Were Kings. Great freaking tune. You should find it on iTunes. Support that guy. Great musicians. Tell you what, I feel like we're losing them. They're fading fast. Ryan Starr is definitely up there. He's a great guy. Friend of the show, friend of mine. He's actually going to be on an episode of Restaurant Road Trip, I think, coming up here very soon. So good news there. Anyway, guys, I just took too much beer. You see it? There you go. Great conversation come tonight. Looking forward to it. I guess I'm saying that a little prematurely because what if the conversation sucks? But I doubt that's going to be the case. It usually doesn't. We got a good dude coming on tonight, man. Chef Tony Reed, Spiceology. I tell you what, I talked to Tony on the phone. Our good friend Chad from True Cooks introduced us. I talked to Tony on the phone a couple weeks back right before the holidays. And it's just some people you meet over the phone or even on social media, but you just know immediately, you know, like, that guy's awesome. That guy's good people. And that's the feeling I got when I first started talking to Tony, man. He's a great guy. Very, very proud of what he does. With Spiceology and how they've grown this company into something amazing. But more importantly, Tony is coming from the kitchen just like the rest of us have. So it's going to be a good conversation, ladies and gentlemen. My new friend, Chef Tony Reed. Tony, what's up, brother?
How you doing, man? How you doing? Thanks for thanks for the kind words.
Dude, of course. And I'm trying to get over my rant on bone broth and veggie stock being a fucking trend in 2018. Get out of here.
Hearing the word stooping is a little ridiculous.
It's nuts, right? Like, dude, I can think of so many times I've been, like, sitting in the kitchen, you know, fucking starting a chicken stock in the morning and pouring it out at night, you know, straining it out at night, and now that's a trend? Like, that was, like, the worst thing ever. You finish cleaning up, you're done, and, like, fuck, I still got to do chicken stock. And now it's like, oh, it's
yeah, that's ridiculous, man. I can't stand that shit. Trends. That's all
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it will keep us in business, though, right? In some weird way.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, man. So at least it's not gluten-free chicken broth. So.
Well, it's protein-free chicken broth now. That's the new thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's chicken-flavored chickpea burgers or some bullshit. I don't know. That's hard to even say. It sounds like a fucking bad punk band. I don't know. Yeah. Dude, so I appreciate you coming on tonight, man. I have completely just really, truly taken to Spiceology and what you guys have done. And honestly, you know, I was telling some guys about it yesterday. I was like, listen, you got to check these guys out because you could buy, like, a spice in the grocery store or something like that, and this shit could have been ground, you know, 5 years ago. But that's definitely, like,
yep.
Completely not okay with Spiceology, right?
No, definitely not. We try to, at least for our chefs, we don't really have we have our blends in grocery stores right now, but our raw products like our cinnamons and beet powder and all that, we generally grind it within a couple to 6 weeks of the chef ordering it. So it's coming in. We're a small batch manufacturer. So we keep our spices we purchase least or a small amount of quantity, but more often, so our product stays
right.
As fresh as we can keep it for the chefs.
Yep. And you can taste the difference immediately. I know I have some dried dill, which is something I never would have thought about actually using, and I found myself using it the last week, and actually over the Christmas, over New Year's, and it's just great. I mean, really, it's just phenomenal. The stuff is great. I mean, it just comes out great. It smells fantastic. It doesn't have that, you know, I've been on the shelf smell, if that makes sense.
Yeah, man, it's great. Like our dill, you know, when I was working in the restaurants, I'd get dill in from our, you know, FSA vendor or Cisco vendor or whatever, and it looked like hay, and it smelled like hay. And I didn't know why. I assumed when I first started cooking 10, 12 years ago that that's what dill tastes like and looked like. And until I got to Spiceology and really started to see all the different kinds of spices out there and what we provided to the chefs with quality, that there's not a lot of chefs get quality when it comes to spices. And so that's what we're here to fix. And that's what we're doing. We're disrupting right now.
Yeah. And you guys are just, you know, you're blowing up too. I mean, you're everywhere. And, you know, it's funny how these days with anything you do with companies, and I think especially when it has to do with food, the social media game has got to be solid. And you guys got a solid social media game going on there. I mean, yeah, that's really, I mean, it's been tremendous, especially that's how I found out about you. I mean, it's got to be a big part of advertising for you guys, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we've had a lot of support from Chadman over at True Cooks. You know, he blew True Cooks up over social media and just in being a chef-owned company. So we took a lot of pointers and a lot of advice from Chad, and you know, it's been crazy. We've been growing the social media page. I think we're at almost 49,000 followers now. You know, we got chefs that are hitting us up all day throughout the day, you know, midnight to midnight, asking us how they get a hold of our product. And
yeah,
so it's been a wild ride, man. Definitely different from being in the back of the kitchen and trying to keep my food costs down and labor costs down, that's for sure.
And I want to ask you all about that stuff, man. But, you know, I come from, you know, I worked around hotels and whatnot and small restaurants, and now I'm doing the private thing, which is phenomenal. And I'll take E4, I don't care. It's phenomenal. I'm very happy with it. It goes very well with my scheduling. But, you know, so some of us guys, like us private chefs or even some home cooks or things like that, who may want to get this product in their kitchen, can they do that?
Yeah, they definitely can. So Spiceology is actually a part of Spiceologist, which is our rub and blend side of the company. And so you can go to Spiceologist.com. They have our A to Z line is what we call it. They're 4-ounce jars. You can buy anything from Aleppo chili flakes to za'atar. And it's a very beautiful website. You can get all of our blends off of there. You can get the raw products that chefs use in their kitchens, just in a smaller amount. And you can even buy the chef size. Yeah, you can even buy the chef size off there. But for the chefs, we recommend going to Spiceology.co. C-O. We're battling for that .com. We got a guy or a family, I think, that owns it, and they're just not handing it over. So Spiceology.co is what we're dealing with there. So you can get all of our spices off there. Yeah, I think it's been 3 years, and we've been trying to get that Spiceology.co off of there or .com off of there.
And they'll want to give it. They'll give it to you for like $25,000. They'll give it to you or some crazy number.
And we're not quite at that number yet, but I'm hoping it doesn't get to that point. That's for sure.
Yeah, but you know, that's like, oh, we own it, so we'll sell it to you for. Tell you what, we'll make you a deal. We'll give it to you for $111,000. How about that?
Yeah. Oh, thanks, asshole. Thank you.
Yeah, right. That guy's a fucking douche. Fuck that guy. it's funny, man, because there's a couple of fake Chef Plum accounts on Instagram and on Twitter, and you talk about a nightmare trying to get shit dealt with. It's impossible because there's nobody to call, you know?
Yeah. Yep. It's crazy, man.
But dude, that's great, man. I didn't know that they could get smaller portion size like that. That's fantastic. I'm glad to hear that, actually. That's awesome. I mean, I definitely will be taking advantage of that for sure. And the Aleppo pepper was fantastic. I used it on some chicken thighs recently. It was delicious.
Right on. That's, you know, that's one of the many I stand behind. It's hard to find right now.
Yeah, it's a good one, man. It's a good one. I wanted to tell you this too, man, before we get into your background. There's a big culinary event that happens here in Connecticut, and it's called 86, and it's 16 chefs over 15 weeks. They compete against each other in a bracket tournament. late night style, like after restaurants close. It's really like night fight-ish. It's fun. It's fucking awesome. And these chefs go to town against each other. So I've judged a couple of them, and I got to judge the finals this year. And each judge got to bring a secret ingredient that the chefs had to use in some way. And I actually brought your black and blue seasoning over there.
Oh, really?
Blue cheese in there. Yeah. And so these guys really went to town with it, man. You'll see there's a really high quality video that got made. There's lots of great shots of that in there. So I'm going to send it over to you as soon as it's public so you can see it. It's dope.
Oh, that's fucking badass, dude. I'm excited. What was the most interesting dish you think that got made up?
Oh, dude, this guy. So one of the other chefs there, an amazing chef, Chef Danny Miser, from Engine Room, which is an amazing restaurant. Dude, when you come to East Coast, you got to give me a shout. I'm going to set you up. But Danny showed up with a whole goat. He's one of the judges. And so this one chef took out this from the goat. And did almost like a carpaccio with it, but used some of the black and blue seasoning on there. Dude, it was sick. It was awesome.
That's badass. I love hearing that.
It. Like, you know, because the guys are thinking, you know, they have no time. They have an hour. And so he's like thinking, shit, what do I make? And so, you know, the cheeks were delicious. So he fucking, it was awesome. I was like, dude, that's pretty fucking, that's nice. That's nice. Nice move there.
Yeah.
It was cool to see it. So you'll see it in the video because, the guy that shot the video content was one of the guys that, you know, helps on the TV show that I work on. So, of course, I was like, dude, get lots of shots of that so I can send it over to those boys.
Dude, that's awesome. That's great hearing that. Love hearing that our product's reaching all over.
Well, it's great, man. Just because it's great product. And that was part of the reason why I wanted to bring it, because I actually pulled it aside and showed the chef. I was like, guys, look at this. Like, there's no filler ingredients in here. You know, it says dehydrated blue cheese. You can taste it. Like, it's awesome. You know, and they were like, damn, that's good stuff. So, you know,
I hope you're handing out my card this whole time.
I might have forgot that part, but I'm not going to lie, brother. There's a lot of alcohol.
Hey, fair enough.
Like a lot. I brought the fucking, the damn product. Isn't that good?
I'll take it.
No, we'll definitely make that happen. I still see these guys all over the place, and it's fun. So, but you come from a background as a chef, man. You're a chef. You've been in the business. What did you come from before you started working with Spiceology? Like, what was your background?
So I primarily all in Asian food. I did go to culinary school, learn the basic French techniques. But pretty strong Asian cuisine background. I started off at a Sichuan restaurant. You know, I worked at sandwich shops and stuff like that here and there, and when I was 16 or 17, I started working at a Sichuan Chinese restaurant here in Spokane, my hometown, where Spiceology is at. And it was really well known. It was actually across the street from my parents' house. I needed a summer job, started dishwashing, but then started to get interested and wanting to do the prep work. So I was just always asking if there was any shrimp that needed to get peeled, you know, need to get clean, anything that I could do on the table. And so chef gave me an opportunity to start prepping, and I picked it up rather quickly. And before I knew it, I was up on the line right next to the chef helping him run the show. And then I ended up going to culinary school, took some time off from the Sichuan restaurant, ended up while I was in school, got an opportunity to buy the restaurant actually, because the owner and chef was actually retiring. But unfortunately I hadn't, finished school, any type of schooling after high school. And I was determined to finish the culinary program. And so he wanted it to be sold before I was graduated. So I said no. My then fiance, now wife, was like, I don't want to serve for the rest of my life working in a restaurant. I was like, all right, I won't start owning a restaurant right away. But then about two months before graduating culinary school, I got offered to help run a ramen shop here in Spokane. And Spokane had never seen anything like it. You know, we had the ramen burger with the ramen patty and all that. Yeah. So it was a fun little twist for Spokane, a trending dish since we're on trends for tonight, was the ramen burger. Yeah, so we put that together. Yeah, and then a year and a half into running the shop as the GM and chef, I got married, and I was helping doing pop-up restaurants with Jeremy Hansen, who's a local James Beard nominee chef here in Washington. And the wife wasn't digging the seven days a week, 12 hours a day type gig. She didn't sign up for that. So I started kind of telling friends and family that, and before I knew it, I had Pete Taylor and Heather Scholten, the founders of Spiceologist, contact me, and they were interested in having an operations manager. And Pete and Heather were telling me, you know, it's like running the line. It's just like running the line. You got your prep cooks doing production, and then you got, you know, your chef hitting the line on fulfillment and pushing the food out. And so I was just like, all right, well, you know, I think I can give this a shot. I was huge into processes and procedures. I had an all Spanish speaking kitchen, so my procedures and processes had to be tight because they spoke a different language. I had to make sure everything was pretty much like spelled out for them as clearly as possible. So I was all about operations, and about 6 to 8 months into that job as operations, we noticed we had all these raw spices sitting around, and we decided, you know, how are we going to market these to chefs? We're making all these blends, but we got chefs hitting us up asking for spice. So we created Spiceology. Pete and Heather approached me and asked if I would run that side of the company. So I said yes, and it's been a crazy year and a half of getting this Spiceology side up and going. In 2018, we're starting to see movement already, and we're 8 days in. So
they gotta be stoked, right?
Yeah, it's been crazy, man. Like last 2017, Entrepreneur Magazine, they named us the 125th fastest growing company in the country. So we are the fastest.
Wow.
No, yeah. So we are the fastest growing spice company out there right now. Like, you can't come close to us. Yeah. We created you've seen our product, you know, we got the periodic table of flavor, organize all the labels. Yeah. Organize all the labels by herbs, chilies, spices, salts, color coded, so it's easy to read. Just being a chef, man, everyone in our operations worked in a kitchen before, and we all knew the pain points. One of them was the spice rack. So that organizational chart with the periodic table is just spot on. It's clean, it's easy to read, creates efficiencies, saves you time, saves you money. It's simple, man. It's super simple. It's easy. That's all.
That's a great description for it, dude. Like, saying it's clean. Like, that's what I agree with. And, you know, we're redoing our kitchen here at the house. That's why I was asking about the smaller stuff, because you know, we're going to redo our kitchen here. I'm going to have a whole exposed, like, spice thing by my new, it's a long story. I'll tell you about it offline, but, and I want to put all spices from you guys up there, because it just looks, it's so clean. It's so, like, sharp looking, you know?
And what's the one thing that chefs want? They want a clean fucking kitchen. They want it to look organized. They want it, like, there, you know, you got other spice companies out there. They have all their labels look the same. Their product looks like shit, and they're in clear bottles. No chef wants to stand behind that. So we made a product that chefs will stand behind, and it's used every single day. You have to use spice.
Well, and also, too, it's the way you guys have marketed it from a social media standpoint, and just, you know, just for other chefs. I mean, again, I'm old. It's fucking cool. Like, it just looks cool. It's awesome. And there is something to be said for that.
Yeah. And on top of it, it's a better product, man. It, you know, aside from it looking cool, it's just better.
Absolutely. You can smell. I'm not trying to take away from that at all. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So.
And by the way,
man, it's been a wild ride.
Congratulations on your wife there. I don't know how it is chefs like myself and you end up, like, I'm a 4.5 at best. My wife's a fucking 10. I don't know how that happens. That's what happened. Like, you, like, I'd say, like, you definitely are a much better looking guy. You're probably like a six, but your wife's a 10. Like, how does that happen? How do we do that? I have no idea how we do that.
I don't know, man. I think I make people laugh a little bit, so maybe that's what won her over a little bit. I don't know, but I had to had to get a Latina in my life to keep my shit in line, keep it in check.
So I definitely does that.
So I got my Latina fire.
There you go. But yeah, man, so it's good, and it changed your lifestyle though, because you went from working those 6-7 day work weeks, 12-15 hours a day, to you're still working your ass off with the company and building it and doing an amazing job with it, but definitely more of a regular kind of working hours. I mean, is your wife, does she come from the business too or no?
Yeah, she does. Emily, she was my server at Nudo. She helped open the restaurant on the front of the house. She's been serving for 8 years now, so since she was 16 or 17. She's great. She knew what it was like to work in the industry, but she'd never been in the kitchen. And I think when she finally saw it every day, the stress level, the panic when you have to 86 something when you're not supposed to, and you know, just everything like that. She when we got married, she was finally seeing it and seeing the grind that it really was. And yeah, you know, she encouraged me to stay in the industry and but you know, keep it 5 days a week.
Well, good. So man, I think it's been good for you, man. That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I am all for anybody who can take this profession and, you know, make something amazing out of their life with it and do something with it and do great things, and especially when it comes to helping the chefs, and that's definitely what you're doing.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of young guys like myself that they get to the quote unquote top of a restaurant where they're the chef at, you know, I was 26, but I hadn't learned anything. You know, I went to culinary school and I learned from some good chefs for Asian cuisine, but 10 years of experience working at, you know, three or four different restaurants is nothing. And I'd already got to that chef level, quote unquote chef level. And I've actually learned more being out of the kitchen and being able to talk to other chefs around the country and in our industry. And so I've actually been able to learn more about food since I left the kitchen, because I'm not in the kitchen cooking the same food all day, you know, 6 days a week.
And you have less of a jaded look on it too, you know?
Exactly. So it's been great, man. Being at Spiceology, I've learned more cuisines. I've been able to cook with some amazing chefs. I got the opportunity to cook with Stephanie Izard out of Chicago, Girl and the Goat, this last summer. Just Chad White. He's part of Spiceology. I've had the opportunity to cook with him a few times now, and you know, met Chad Mitten. It's been great, dude. It's been a wild ride. Spiceology's opened a ton of different doors up. What's that?
And you're just getting started. I mean, shit, it's only going to get bigger and bigger. You just wait. This shit, I mean, you guys are on the verge of just blowing up. I mean, I know you're already big and doing well, but it always can take the next step. And that's the coolest part about, you know, industry and what we do is that, I mean, I don't know if there is a ceiling, you know? I don't think there is.
Yeah. The spice industry is supposed to double itself in the next 2 years, from going from a $3 billion industry to a $6 billion industry. So there's a lot of spices out there, and there's a lot more learning to definitely take place. So,
well, especially too with the day and age we live in now, with everyone, you know, I mean, listen, everybody now like wants to be involved with food. I mean, Instagram is such a food thing now, and just, I keep going back to social media because it's such an integral part of everyone's life, it seems like. But, you know, I mean, with so much more, you know, quote, food education now than even when I was a kid, and it's amazing the difference. You know, everybody wants to cook now. Like, you know, I just did a piece on television about food trends myself, which I didn't talk about any vegetable broth or bone broth, but I talked about how everyone, you know, everybody that I know that's not a chef or not in the business, man, they all do those like Blue Apron or Purple Carrot or, you know, those delivery services where they get all the ingredients to make dinner at night at home. And I think you're just seeing more and more people doing that, which is just more education, food education. I mean, dude, food is awesome. I mean, I end every show with, you know, food is the most important thing we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. And that's the truth. Think about it. Someone dies. What do? We eat. We go on a first date. What do? We eat. Everything important happens around food. And that's only going to get bigger and bigger.
Yep. 100%. 100%.
So when you give me a little bit more there, so I can drink some more of my beer. But
but yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
10 seconds.
But no, I mean, you're absolutely right. Like, food is everything. And what's crazy is people are starting to learn, you know, with the fight against opioids and going against, you know, taking medication all the time. People are starting to find spices as medicinal. Which has been great. I'm going to name drop Jeremy, but our local chef, but you know, he does medicinal spice menus at his restaurant and it's crazy. Like,
wow.
10 years ago when I first started cooking, it was salt and pepper and Sichuan peppercorns and maybe some Thai red chilies, and that was what I was running with.
Right.
And
that's what you had.
You know, and yeah, and now I'm starting to see these chefs with more versatile like menus, and they're using spices and they're using them correctly. So not only does your food taste better, but you're actually getting healthier while you're eating. So it's been wild, man. That's another reason why we focus on having fresh product, because without fresh product, you don't have the medicinal uses of spices. You know, as you know, when you grind a product up, it loses its life. And so we want to make sure that we can get our product to you as fresh as possible. So that's why we don't grind until you order.
I got to send you a message like offline. There's so many people I want to get you in touch with. Do you guys do international stuff, like ship internationally?
Not yet. I've been working on it. We can do Canada and Mexico, but as far as shipping overseas, it's tough, man. It's like, how much product do you want to buy and how much shipping do you want to buy?
Right,
that's where we're at right now. We're trying to figure out that shipping cost. So,
but
Canada
mine,
and Mexico, we can definitely do.
Canada, Mexico, for sure. All right, that's good. Well, a buddy of mine, his name is DJ Barbecue. He's best friends with Jamie Oliver. He's been on this program. He's a great dude. He's a fucking douchebag in a good way. He's awesome. And giant following. I was like, we got to get some stuff in his hands because he would blow it up, man. And then he'd probably get it in Jamie's hands, which would blow it up, you know?
Oh, yeah. Where is he at?
UK.
UK.
He's an American kid living in the UK.
Well, maybe we can do a special delivery. We can do that for you, DJ. DJ Barbecue, we got you.
Just look him up, man. You'll see. We'll talk about that later on. But he's a great dude, man. He is a sweetheart of a guy. He's a great like barbecue guy, and it's a perfect fit. And the guy would do a lot with it. The guy's awesome. Yeah, man. It's funny when you see a product like this that you just fall in love with and think it's fantastic. I think that's what happens. If people see the product, they taste the product, like, this is great stuff. And so I highly, highly urge everyone to please check out spiceology.co for more info and to order. And of course, spiceologist.com, you said, right?
Yeah. Spiceologist.com for our rubs and our retail A to Z line. So hook it up.
Nice. All right, look, we got to go through some of these Pinterest things, man. Can you do it with me for a minute?
Yeah.
I want to finish this fucking list. I don't know why I want to finish it. I think I want to finish it because I enjoyed torture. That's why I want to finish it. So I started off with bone broth here, which I just talked about. They called it souping over juicing. They were saying that veggie broth is good for you. Did you know that, Chef? Veggie broth is good for you.
Oh, my goodness.
Get the fuck out of here. Right? All right, let's go. The next one here they got from Pinterest. They're saying hormone balancing almond and matcha with cinnamon smoothie. They're saying coffee with superpower. It says turn up the ante with your morning coffee. People are adding protein powders, superfoods like energy boosting matcha, Pinterest notes that the saves, like on the saves on the pictures for healthy coffee, are up more than 200%. Chef, are you a coffee drinker?
I am, but just straight black coffee and nothing else, man. Eat your breakfast, drink some coffee, take a shit, and move on with your day.
Kill the music. Thank you. Kill the fucking music. Yeah, dude, I don't even know if I could do it. Like, you want me to put protein powder in my coffee? I'm doing good if I can get up in the morning and make coffee and be able to function, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I drink my coffee to get my body moving, like, and that's it. I don't need anything else in my coffee.
I don't want to overthink it, you know? Like, why are you making me overthink it with, I got to add some matcha to my... First of all, matcha powder is disgusting. Can we just say that? Everyone talks about, oh, it's free and stuff. It's fucking... It tastes like fucking cat food.
Yeah, I tried to make a blend with matcha, and it was fucking gross.
It's disgusting, dude. Yep. It tastes like cat food. I used to try to be cool. I'm not going to lie here. I went through a phase where I didn't drink coffee, and I was trying to be cool, and I was like, let me get a green tea latte over to Starbucks. And I know that's no. Probably sacrilegious talking about where you live, but I would get a green tea latte. And it was delicious the second you got past the cat food taste. It tastes like fucking cat food.
Yeah, man, I'm awful. Not much of a tea drinker either, so.
Yeah, no.
Black coffee.
So listen, let's make a pact right now. If anybody in 2018 talks about how matcha tastes great and stuff, let's just tell them, let's just straight up make a pact right now that we'll call them out. Like, you're fucking lying.
Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out of here. You're full of shit. That's garbage.
Yeah.
Also here on the list from Pinterest here, according to Pop Sugar, they're saying that Moroccan foods are going to be amazing here, which I don't disagree with that. North African spices, including cumin, coriander, cardamom, all these things are delicious. Are waking up taste buds and pushing everyday dishes beyond the basics.
Yep.
You know, I think that's probably a lot of truth to that.
Yeah. There's we're actually already seeing a huge push for African, North African spice blends, the Berbers, the Vodouvans, and just the Dukas, you know, a lot of Indian and North African spice blends are definitely on the rise. I get hit up every day for them.
That's great. So, flavors,
and
stuff,
those
man.
Are the,
even something simple as a fresh cardamom like that makes a giant difference in a dish.
Oh yeah, and those are the spices that really carry a lot of the health benefits to food. So definitely hit those Moroccan flavors. Tough. That's one thing I would definitely recommend.
Hell yeah, I agree. I mean, you've seen a lot of that stuff. I mean, it's amazing, too. Like, when you make even if you are making, like, a Mexican cuisine or something like that, adding a little kind of those flavors in mixed in with it. I know when I make a camole sauce, I'll add some of those flavors in with it, and it really makes a big difference.
Yeah, certainly does. It's great. It's good stuff.
So they're also talking about here, next on the list, is plant-based protein, which is funny. I think I made a joke about that a few minutes ago. But, dude, tell me you're not vegetarian, right?
No. Okay. Going into the new year, I was like, you know, I should try this, you know, all these athletes, big basketball fan, all those guys are going vegan. And I was like, I'm going to give it a shot. And I went like half a day. I was like, dude, I got to get a burger or something. This is some bullshit.
Yeah. You're like, oh, tofu and oh, great. This is awesome. But burgers are delicious.
Yeah. Give me the burgers, man.
Well, it's funny. They got a picture here of a herby edamame and chickpea burger with a green dressing, which is random. Like, you're going to get so in-depth about what's in the burger as to go as far as say edamame and chickpea. But for the sauce, you just say green dressing. Like, you're not going to tell us what the fucking sauce is? Like, what the fuck?
It's full of fat and just, yeah.
Yeah. It says, hashtag meatless Monday, anyone, with increasing interest in cutting back on meat and growing knowledge of plant-based proteins. Recipes for vegetarian, quote, meat will be big in 2018. Lentils, hemp, quinoa, beans, and edamame are popular ingredients for veggie burgers as they pack an impressive protein punch. I don't know. If you and I are out, we're going to go out for the night and, you know, hang out. And there's just zero chance I'm going to order a chickpea burger if I'm sitting with a bunch of chefs. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and I'm sure that chickpea burger costs like $18. You know, like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. And you're just gonna be shitting yourself all night too. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah. Oh, let me just eat this fibrous burger here and shit my brains out while we're all trying to talk
right.
about sports and politics.
Fuck. I think what's gonna happen in 2019, Food Trend's gonna be eating these protein, plant protein gimmicks, and instead of when we're just shitting all over ourselves everywhere, they're just gonna be like, oh, well, you're getting cleansed. It's not shitting, you're cleansing yourself. What?
No, I'm sure South Park will make an episode about that if the trend hits, man, because that's just too good.
Oh, fuck, that'd be amazing. It's saying that snap peas are going to be a big thing. People are putting down the chips and turning to snappy vegetables. Dressed up edamame and snap peas are trending on Pinterest, and there are plenty of creative recipes like the spinach pea and edamame risotto with pink peppercorns. I don't know.
Here's the thing.
Edamame.
If edamame is gonna be a trend, we gotta teach people how to fucking eat it.
Thank you.
At the ramen shop, I couldn't tell you how many times I had someone tell me that the edamame I made them was shit because they ate the whole fucking pod. And I'm like,
dude,
check out what you just did.
Right.
Like,
do you know what the
you're gonna
doing?
Have? Yeah, not only are you going to shit yourself, but it's going to hurt coming out. Like, that is not good, dude.
It's going to hurt. That's going to be a two-day event right there for yourself. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yep. That's the worst. If edamame is going to be a thing, we got to teach people how to eat it, man. I'm telling you.
Right, but I don't want to be an educator, too, for the public. I don't want to fucking do that. So how about we just...
Yeah.
Don't serve edamame to people who don't know what the fuck they're doing. Or
maybe we do it
and we call it like survival of the fittest. Like, it's Mother Nature. If you can't eat them right and you fucking die from it, that's your fault.
Yeah. Only if it worked that way, man. Only if it worked that way.
I mean, maybe I went a little far with it. I don't think people are going to die from eating edamame. I might have taken that.
No.
I might have missed a few steps in between there. So let's say here that the new hot sauces are on fire. I'd agree with this. Step aside sriracha, Korean condiments like gochujang and is on the rise. It's a spicy paste made with red chili, rice, fermented soybeans, and salt are making their way onto more cooks' homes. I'd agree with that, man. You're starting to see that shit everywhere now.
Oh, yeah. We actually, I made a Korean barbecue blend for William Sonoma. Here not too long ago, and it's actually one of their top selling spice blends at all locations. So I know that Korean blend is or Korean trend is really going to blow up this year, just based off of the requests we get from companies like Williams Sonoma on special projects like that. So
yeah, that goes back
definitely
to what I said
seeing
before about how people's brains are just kind of being more food educated and getting more into food. Like, you know, 20 years ago, people, regular cooks and stuff, wouldn't even touch that shit. Now, people love it.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Educating my family members, they're all Southern people, like, all from the South, so it's just like, just throw some gravy on it. It tastes great. And it's just like, teaching them all these different flavor profiles, like, having my grandparents, I made Thanksgiving dinner for the first time, and they were eating figs and... you know, sweet potatoes and
right.
with barbecue sauce and like just like all these different. I made some Korean flavored green beans, and my grandpa, you know, he's a Vietnam guy, and he's like, "What the hell is this? I'm not eating this."
Yeah.
And he eats it, and he's like, "Oh, this is great. This is really good." And I'm like, "Oh God." So yeah, it's been great. Like, the Asian foods, man. It's just every year. It grows.
Yeah, but here's my problem with it.
Japanese.
I'm going to tell you my problem with it. It's up there with the word gut. Using the word fermented is not a pleasant term to say when you're describing food to average Joe. It just doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fermented means gross.
Yeah. Especially when you're working with the fermented black beans and stuff with the Asian food, they get grossed out just
terrible.
Hearing that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what that is. You know what that is. We're food people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the lawyer guy who's coming in for lunch or is having a dinner, like they don't fucking know what that means. They act like they do, but they don't fucking know what that means. I don't know.
They for sure will act that way too. They will act like they know.
So also here on the list, as we're almost done with, is talking about ghee or clarified butter is now a trend. Believe it or not, chef, I can think of hundreds of pounds of butter I've had to clarify in my lifetime. But if you're not yet familiar with ghee or clarified butter, prepare to see it everywhere next year. While it's not new in the slightest, the lactose-free form of butter has gained popularity thanks to its rich, nutty flavor and its ability to withstand higher heat cooking, which is best for things like fluffy scrambled eggs.
Jesus.
Maybe we're like fortune tellers. Like we should be chef fortune tellers because we can see the future. We know what shit's gonna.
Well, what I'm thinking is I could have been a millionaire at 16 years old making clarified butter in my kitchen.
Why do you do that?
I'm like thinking back. I'm like, that's literally like the first thing I ever learned. Like,
right.
Shit, dude. This is. Why aren't I a millionaire yet?
I know why we didn't do it because I was too busy smoking weed. That's why.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. I will agree with that.
And then it's talking about here desserts getting the vegan treatment, which just makes me angry. Being another trend here coming up. It's no secret that tons of desserts can be made vegan, and Pinterest found that saves were up more than 300% on vegan desserts. Knowing that they can swap eggs for flax seeds and butter for coconut oil, vegans and non-vegans alike are looking for ways to change their go-to sweet treats. As long as it tastes good, I'll eat desserts. I don't give a shit. Just don't put fucking mint on it. That's all I say.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'll eat it. I love sweets. It's the best thing. Anything sweet,
I mean, I don't care
I'll
if
eat
vegan
it.
Vegan or vegetarian or I don't if it's got half a cow in it. As long as it's delicious, I don't give a shit. Just eat it.
Yeah. Hey, weed's legal in my state, man. I'll eat any kind of treats as long as it tastes good.
awesome.
As long as it tastes good.
This makes me mad. The last one here on the list is they're calling it mocktail magic. It's a whether you're a drinker or you're underage or you're looking for fun drink ideas, inclusive for pregnant people, which, by the way, I have three children. My wife drank at least a glass of wine generally a night. Anyway, you think Europeans stop drinking when they're pregnant? Anyway, this is a great time for mocktails. Non-alcoholic mixes of sparkling waters, artisanal ingredients, and non-boozy drinks are easier than ever to make. I didn't think they were harder last year than they are now. Like, it's not hard to put some fucking lime.
Just don't put alcohol on it.
Right. This is a thing now. I'm actually going to
agree. Red Robin has been doing virgin drinks for years.
Fuck yeah, dude. I remember doing the shit at Applebee's way back in the day when they would do this fucking, like, weird Applebee's, like, syrups and whatever. But there's a little bit of truth to this, man. So I host a show called Restaurant Road Trip where I go traveling and see restaurants and shit. And there's a place in West Hartford called Zohara. It's amazing. It's true Mediterranean-style food. And they have an amazing cocktail program there where they're making actual cocktails out of, like, you know, beet juice and, like, freshly squeezed orange juice and, like, just they're pressing vegetables and making juice out of it, which is pretty cool. Making cocktails out of it, which is pretty fucking cool. They had an amazing carrot cocktail they call 24 Carat, and it's awesome. And but they're using juices, like real fruit and veggie juices, and making cocktails out of it. It looks amazing.
Yeah, I was down in a spot called the Breakfast Club in Scottsdale, in Arizona, last spring, and they were doing that same thing, and they were delicious. I mean, if you love spending $12 for a juice, like, go for it. It's really good, but it's $12 for juice, for a glass of juice.
Right, and if you're going to spend $12 for juice, you might as well get some booze in there, right?
Yeah, thank you very much, yes.
You fucking might as well just pour some vodka in that shit. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest with you, is me in my early days of a chef. I can think in the early 90s where I would be taking fruit juices and just pouring random liquors in it, and now it's a trend. So I did it because I was drunk. I couldn't find anything else to drink.
Yeah, we used to use the old Franzia wine bag in the basement of the kitchen. So, yeah.
I think yours is worse than mine.
Yeah, yeah. The wine, we call them, you know, we pull them out of the box and that'd just be a wine bladder. Let's wake up, guys. It's wine bladder wake up. Let's do this.
So fucking disgusting. That shit's all hot.
Yeah. Yep.
Jesus, that's
it
awful.
Gets you through the shift, look. Man.
Yeah, right. Well, listen, dude, I've loved this conversation, man. It's been a lot of fun, dude. I'd love to get you back on sometime. We do roundtables and whatnot. Come participate and be there.
Yeah.
I told you, it's easy, right? Look how much time's passed. It's over 40 minutes.
It's easy.
It was quick.
Oh, wow. All right. Easy enough.
There you go. There you go. You guys make sure you check out Spiceology, spiceology.co for more info. And, of course, Spiceologist, we're looking for smaller orders. And make sure you follow our friend Chef Tony here at Chef_Tony_Reed on Instagram. I have been subject to the underscore as well. It's a pain in the ass, but we have to deal with it. And this is our burden to carry, yep. Chef. We can handle it.
Yep. Oh, man. Well, right on. Thanks, Chef.
Absolutely, man. Great story. I appreciate you, brother. And I'll talk to you on down the road.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Chef.
Thank you, man. There he goes, you guys. That's Chef Tony Reed from Spiceology, man. I can't emphasize enough how great their product is, man. Just good people, quality stuff. I don't know. I love hearing his story, too. It's fun to hear guys who, come from the kitchen and move on to do something cool in the business outside of the kitchen, whether it's because of family needs or just on their own choices. So I love it. The product's great. I can't emphasize enough. It's just good stuff, man. So I can't emphasize enough. Make sure you check out spiceology.co. Good stuff there from Chef Tony. I'm sure we'll talk to him on down the road. He's a good dude. In the meantime, and in between time, ladies and gentlemen, make sure next week we will be live Monday night with my good friend Jamie Sire from Iron Chef will be here talking to us. She is the field reporter on Iron Chef. And then the following week, we are going to be live from the Mohegan Sun for the Chef-tastic. What do we call that shit? The Chef-stravaganza. I don't know. I'm going to see how many weird, more fucking stupid names I can come up with. Big shout out to Chef Tony Reed for coming on here and hanging out with us tonight. A lot of fun talking to him. Make sure you check out Spiceology. Those guys are great. The guys do an amazing job. Guys, please make sure you check those guys out. Support them. It's important to support these chef-owned companies. Remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. I'll see you next week. Don't forget, rate, review, and subscribe. Thank you. Peace.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.